This is CliffCentral.com. Welcome to the SME Showcase section of our Business Masterclass. I'm Adrian Groenewald, and with me today from USB Ed and Imaginate is Adam Rabinowitz. We just had a business skills conversation around opportunity generation and innovation. But now in the studio, two special guests, Enactus alumni, and we'll find out more what Enactus is about in our youth leadership platform 2 to 3 p.m. today, which is in the next half hour. So, Cholo and Tsepo, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Happy Throw me with here. A bottle of water if I say your names wrong, okay?
All right.
Is so it Cholo or Tsolo? Tsolo.
It's full Tsolo Felo, so Tsolo.
Tsolo, okay, Tsolo, yes, and Tsepo. Welcome, and you guys went through this whole Enactus culture, which I've been to the national competition, absolutely amazing last year. I missed the World Cup, which was in South Africa, which I'm sad about. But of course, you have a national competition coming up now in a week.
Yeah, it's next week, so it's 27th and 28th.
These are amazing. You've got like 1,500 students in a hall, and they're cheering their teams from different universities. It is incredible. The presentations are slick and brilliant. Tjoch, Adam, have you ever been to one of those?
Not to one of those, no.
It's an experience. The hope you have for the country and the economy in the future is just remarkable when you've been there. I promise you, everyone should see it happen at least. Quick reminder, last week we had Trevor Henn, Polytech Forensic Investigations, in the studio, and he spoke to us practically as an SME owner about fraud in businesses, so you can download that podcast. Right, Tsolo and Tsepo, let's start with you, your businesses. We'll get to innovation, about opportunity generation, how you saw the opportunity. We'll get there. But just tell us about your businesses. Tsepo, let's start with you. Okay. You run an innovative business, which is part of, a bigger one globally or internationally. But tell us about your business, and then we'll go to Tsolo.
Okay, so our business is Charge Up SA. We basically provide...
Charge Up SA.
Yes.
Yep.
We provide mobile charging stations for use in public places or even events. So basically, this is for anyone when your phone basically runs flat and you are in a public area, you can basically go to our charging station and basically charge your phone for free. Now, we use this platform to provide businesses with an opportunity to actually advertise and engage people that need to charge their phone by either branding the whole charging station or playing video messages on it. The nice thing about it is we're able to report back to our customers, meaning the advertiser, how many people actually use the charging station, so how many people actually interacted with their brand. And I think businesses that do advertise on our platform get a very special place in our users, given that usually when your phone is flat, you are very desperate, and when a brand does come and help you, you appreciate it quite a lot.
Okay, we seem to have a call on the line. We'll put them there now. So that's an innovative business, and I'm sure you've seen opportunities as you started it. Maybe initially it wasn't also an advertising stand where you could advertise your business, and that came along. So we'll find out more about that. So if I'm in a big event, and there's 1,000, 2,000 people at this conference, then hopefully if I run out of battery, then you're... Okay, yeah. I do see some challenges there now with this power battery that people have and all these other opportunities. So you've had to innovate, no doubt.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to Tsolo, your business.
Well, there's two of them. It's one business that's quite essential to our everyday life. I run a personal concierge laundry business, meaning that we really take we bring in the convenience of laundry to you. So it's a pickup and drop off service. You give us a call, we deliver to you at your doorstep. So it's as simple as that. That's a service that we provide for small guest houses, for individuals, for professionals, for executives who really working moms who need that convenience. So that's what we do. And then another romantic business that I'm doing is I'm running a publishing business, helping self-publishers publish their own books. So that's what I also run and do. So we're finding that a lot of more people have now access to actually publishing their own books, but necessarily don't know how to get there. So we kind of give them the skills. We do the design. We register their books. And then we also give them information how they can actually market their own books online.
Oh, very interesting. So more modern business, although both are quite interesting, around convenience. The world is very much about convenience these days. So while you think of that exact moment when you saw the opportunity and why you went for it, let's just see what Tumelo wants to share with us online. Tumelo, welcome. Hello, is Tumelo on the line? Let's go right back. I don't know where Tumelo has gone. We usually don't take calls, but someone came through. All right, so let us go to Tsepo. Tell us, what were you doing, merrily going on your way, doing something in your life until this opportunity was spotted by you or it came along and you decided to grab it? Just tell us about that moment.
Yeah, so typically it is out of frustration. The one time I needed my phone.
That's the pain we spoke of in the first half of the show.
I needed my phone, and typically nowadays we use our phones for internet banking. We use it for transportation. Almost all the critical apps that you need are on your phone. And my phone at the time was dead, and I needed to do an internet transfer. I did not have access to my laptop at all. And I was running out of time, and I just thought, you know what, there must be a place where I can charge my device. I was in a mall, and I asked around if anyone could basically help. No one could help. I said, no, but this cannot be the case, you know. So I thought, you know what, if there was a public charging station, even if I had to pay, I would pay, even if, like, given my desperation at that point. And I thought, if I come with a product offering that is free.
Sorry.
If I come with a product offering that is free, I mean, people will love that service, and I think brands would definitely be interested in engaging customers that would want to use that service. So that's how it basically came about. And I did a bit of research and actually found out that there's a condition now called nomophobia. So the whole thing has now been formalized.
Oh yes.
Yeah. And nomophobia basically means the fear of being out of your mobile device. So
what is it called?
It's nomophobia is the fear of being.
What's the word?
Nomophobia.
No more phobia.
Yes,
basically.
Nomophobia.
So no more no more battery.
Yes. So being without your mobile device, you can actually Google it. It's unbelievable. So it's a serious problem, and that a lot of people experience. Then I realized that maybe this is something that one can do.
So now one can take your phone to that station, and can I actually leave it there to be charged while I do some shopping and come back?
100%.
And it's safe and all of that.
100%. So that's exactly what we wanted to do. A secure platform where someone can go, choose a pin, lock their phone in there, walk away with the surety that their cell phone is safe, and then come back 30 minutes later to basically pick it up.
Okay, so it was born. We spoke about opportunity generation in the first part of the show. Let me just see Adam there. And this is what it is. Instead of just, I don't know, dealing with the pain and the frustration, this man saw the opportunity and jumped for it.
Well, maybe that also helps us clarify the concepts of opportunity and innovation, because the opportunity was there. It sprang out of the need for combating nomophobia.
Yeah,
and then the innovation was required to create the environment that would now serve this need. So the opportunity, I guess, was the fact that this thing doesn't exist in a mall. Mm. Then the innovation came about, and now we have Charge Up SA.
Okay, Tolo, where did it happen for you? Where did you spot that opportunity?
Actually, I'm a social entrepreneur at heart. So the first time I had a
And by the way, that's the essence of Enactus, isn't
it?
Social entrepreneurship.
Social entrepreneurship. So there's a back home. I come from the Free State, and one of our people, community members, was looking for a job, and I was like, "Oh, come! You can come and clean my house." But I thought, "No, man. Well, it's only one house. I'm a single woman. What else can we do?" So I saw an opportunity to expand it, and I thought, "I'm a single person. I work. I'm an executive. I come home at 7 o'clock. I don't have time to do laundry. It would be nice if somebody can just drop it off at my door, and you know, and have everything ready." So it got born out of that, and also what further in thought it could work is was that one of my very first clients was a guy from from Switzerland, and he was here on business for about 6 months, and he was staying at a hotel, and the concierge to pay for the hotel laundry is very expensive, and I guess he just found me on Google and said, "I need a service," and I thought, wow, if a person that is a business person here for a short period of time wants a laundry service, sits in a hotel, is expensive to pay a service at a hotel, let me provide that service. So that's why we called it a personal concierge laundry business, to say, let's do it for you. So that's where we found the opportunity.
So you can actually assist someone in a hotel,
yes.
An individual, even though you might not have a contract with a hotel.
Yes.
You go individual right there.
Individual.
All right. And your other business, publishing?
Publishing. Publishing, that also was born out of an opportunity from a friend who wanted to write us. She had a romantic idea to write a book. And I've also been wanting to write a book myself. And we thought, publishing companies is difficult to get into. Traditional publishing costs a lot of money. Issues with copyright, there's quite a lot of challenges, and the world of self-publishing is there. But she didn't know really how to get into it. Then I said, let's start a publishing company, and I'll help you through the process of publishing your book. And
so that's e-books, where it started. Is that what you then?
It's ebook as well as hard copy. So we start really from design to registering your book to actually then they currently doing their own self marketing, and we also use Amazon and Kindle to actually
Are you very expensive?
No, not very expensive.
So if someone wants to do an ebook and a design, that sort of thing, you're not too expensive.
Not too expensive.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. Now I'm interested. Now, this is for me the next step is fine. A lot of people see opportunities. There are how many people who felt that pain and that frustration of not be of nomophobia.
Yeah.
They could not charge their phone, but they just live with the pain, go home, and then go charge it. Or get into their car and charge it, that sort of thing. Why did you jump? What made you do it? And both of you tell me, what's different between you and the next person who just lives with the pain? You actually turned it into a business. Why? Where does that come from?
Yeah. I think personally for me, it's my involvement in Enactus that definitely ignited the whole...
So you were a student?
Yes. So
studying where?
University of Free State.
You were involved in Enactus.
So I was involved in Enactus, and the type of projects that we did were very entrepreneurial sort of projects, and we were helping people also to become entrepreneurial in themselves, and that sort of ignited the whole thing with me, right? So since then, in fact, when I left varsity, I went straight into business. I ran my business for about 2-3 years before I came into formal employment, and ever since then, I've always been trying to solve problems via some sort of entrepreneurial idea, etc., etc. So when we started this business, I started this business only in 2004. I mean, yes, 2004, and it was just basically out of that thing that Enact has started many years ago.
And Adrian, that's what you were saying before about the culture of entrepreneurship or the culture of innovation playing a part. If you hadn't been part of Enactus, you know, you may not have been immersed in that whole entrepreneurial culture, and you may have been like all the others that have seen the opportunity, felt the frustration, and not actually done anything about it.
Yeah.
Etolo, why don't you go for
it? Yeah, I think, interestingly enough, we're from the same university, Free State University, and we actually started Enactus in the country in 2003.
You were the first...
We're the first university to actually run the Enactus program in the country. So that for in itself was entrepreneurial, because we had to come up with innovative ways of how do we get people to become more entrepreneurs, to be like us. We've got all these ideas. So running in that program also made a difference in terms of how I view things, how I find solutions where problems are. And it's that skill you need not only as an entrepreneur, but anywhere you are, even if you're in a corporate business, you always have to find solutions. If you find solutions to any problems, it becomes part of your culture and part of how you do things.
How you do things. I'm going to go a little bit deeper for both of you, and that is, why did you join the Enactus campus chapter at your university? So again, how many students are there at the Free State University, or Tux, or I don't know, Stellenbosch or UCT? Who can join Enactus, but they don't? They're just studying to become an accountant, or studying to become a lawyer or a teacher. Why? What triggered that in you, that you joined the Enactus? So there's something there even before, Adam. Enactus, that played a role. It made you more opportunity aware, no doubt. It probably changed your value system to say, okay, I mustn't just be an entrepreneur. I must be a social entrepreneur. It impacted, it molded you a little bit more, okay? But something made you join Enactus. Do you know what that was?
Well, for me as a student, it was fun, number one.
I think that was something, the first one.
Yeah, it was something else different to do from your books. So for me, it was fun. And also creating, helping other people, the social part of it, saying that we're going to create other entrepreneurs and also leaving a legacy. We want to live life in creating other people to make other people successful. So that was my biggest reason. I want to make a difference in the world. And that was one avenue.
And that's how someone sold it to you there, to say, become part of Enactus.
Yep.
It's about social entrepreneurialism.
Yep.
Whatever you do will make a difference in society. And I've seen the projects.
Yep.
They all must prove that they're changing society, and that it's generating feasible income and revenue, that it's a going concern. Right, and for you, Tsepo?
So it was basically the very same, right? So I was actually already involved with some social initiatives from the university itself, but they were like the typical ones where you go and you just go for a day and you hand over stuff to people. And the philosophy that Enactus had at the time was, teach a man, give a man a fish and he will eat for a day. Teach a man how to fish and he will eat for a lifetime. Mm-hmm. And I felt I want to be part of this. I want to be part of this change and part of this impact of changing people's lives for good.
Okay, we've got two at heart social entrepreneurs in the studio, formed to a large degree by the Enactus Association. But we also zooming in a little bit more into your awareness of opportunity spotting and innovation. So in your business now that you run, so both of you are running this full-time on the side?
On the side.
So on the side for me, but I have a business partner who's full-time on it.
That's very interesting. So both of you have somehow started new businesses, but someone is running it on the side and you keep your finger on the pulse.
Yes.
Yeah.
What's the rationale behind that?
I think for me, what I currently do on from 8 to 5, I enjoy it. But I think it tends to become monotonous. And doing this business, for me, it's exciting. So it's something that you do differently. And juggling the two, I like to juggle maybe a couple of things at the same time. Mm. And I've been able to do that. But it also challenges you to be innovative in terms of how you keep the pulse on. Mm. So you tend to think differently in terms of how you're going to operate your business. Being a laundry business, yes, you have a full-time person operating there. Logistics, it's the biggest challenge for my business, but we're finding innovative ways. With Uber coming online, it minimizes in terms of your logistics problem. It solves it. So you need to think innovatively of how you're going to manage your business without really being there.
All right. Tipo, yourself, you also part-time building this business.
Yeah.
Waiting to one day jump, or is it really?
Yeah, definitely. To be honest with you, I think eventually I will jump and run the business full-time. Currently, obviously, the focus is making sure the business is basically liquid and you keep your expenses as low as possible. So,
okay. Are both of you tuned? And you mentioned now, so you mentioned that you're looking for opportunities. Just tell me, how do you look for opportunities at the moment? So you can't just let this business run. As I said to you just now, Tsepo, the days of me running out of battery are gone, I think, because I have a power battery that's charged, and that thing goes with me everywhere. It's even used to periscope now. Okay, so now I'm saying, okay, what's happening to your business? How are you innovating to get around that? And I'm sure other people enter into the market as your connoisseur job that you... So are you consciously looking for opportunities to make sure that you don't that your business does not go under?
Yeah, 100%. And I think for us, that's why we didn't position our charging stations as something that people had to pay for to use, because someone would rather carry a heavy power bank if they know they're going to have to pay one day. And what we do is we add.
So you don't pay.
So users do not pay. So they basically charge for free.
Right? So your revenue model was going to be you pay for it. But that's what you were willing to do when you had that pain.
100% out of frustration.
The revenue is advertising.
Advertising on the actual platform, yes. So what we are now doing is we're adding other value adds to the advertising offering. So when we take our charging station to an event, we provide free Wi-Fi from within the charging station itself. Mm. So meaning people that are at an event, they can use the free Wi-Fi that's provided through the charging station itself. Our advertiser can brand that platform, and before people get access to the Wi-Fi, can either like their social page, view a video, download their app, basically. So it's expanding that value offering from an advertising perspective beyond just the charging itself. Mm. So even if someone doesn't need to charge, they'll probably need the Wi-Fi.
Okay, and as you sit here, do you with your partner sit and say, what's the next big thing? What's the next thing we need to innovate? What's the next thing we need to do to remain relevant? Do you do that consciously, or is it just coming on a needs basis?
We do that consciously, because with the current product as a new product into the market, trying to get companies to sort of advertise on this platform takes a bit of mind change. So we often like think on different ways we can engage them, different ways we can position the product to them so that they can see the relevance of it. And therefore, the innovation just keeps on going, just so that we can engage these clients to see how valuable their platform is.
The world we live in, Adam, is if you don't consciously think, how can we do it differently, and everything, what's the sentence you use? Everything is up for renewal.
Everything's up for renewal, indeed. And I think probably one of the things that must go hand in hand with that is to kill the assumption that all customers are like me.
Yeah.
So as you were saying, you were prepared to pay for it. Mm. And then the first time you take your innovation out there, you discover that not all customers are like me. And so you have to then go back to the model, review it.
Okay. Solo, back to your business. Yeah. You've got the
it's an age-old business doing laundry, and it's so simple. But I think the part that we're seeing more, people want convenience in their life. That's, for me, our value add. It's a convenience that we give our customers.
In an economy that's going downward, how is that impacting?
nothing changes. Everybody does needs laundry every single week. So the economy does not really impact a lot in terms of our operations. And one of our ways in terms of want to reduce operational costs, that's why we need to leverage on other systems that are already there. Like I indicate, in terms of our logistics side of our business, we want to use Uber in terms of how we do our logistics.
So the person who works for you and does laundry, they jump in an Uber, take laundry to someone personally in a hotel room, or their home when they get home after busy days of work, and then they jump an Uber again to the next, so they can actually use that infrastructure.
Simple.
Mm.
Because it's cheaper, my costs are lower, I don't have to hire out a courier business or get logistics cars to do the transportation.
Well, your business lends it to that.
Yes.
So unless you have a lot of laundry, but that's... you know, Adam, so what you have is a total revolutionization of the taxi industry by Uber. And then someone else, through opportunity spotting, sees the gap of jumping on board with using
vacant space in an Uber.
Yes, yeah. Using vacant space in an Uber, yeah.
But now here's a question I have for both of you. So both of you came up with this very innovative idea. But did you imagine yourself doing the work that would be required to run this thing operationally? So essentially, yours is collecting and delivering and dealing with other people's dirty clothes.
Mm.
And yours is running around to corporates, convincing them to buy and sell. In other words, you're now a salesman of advertising space, and you are a glorified collector and delivery of dirty clothes. That's the operational.
It
work.
Becomes clean, though. Yeah.
It does eventually become clean. It starts off at one end of the scale, and it moves to the other. And this, of course, you're my 13-year-old son, which just stays on the floor all the time, hoping some miracle.
Okay.
But now, that created for you a job that wasn't the same as the innovative idea.
Yeah.
So how do you retain the passion for the innovation, given that the work you have to do, really, when you write it down on a piece of paper, is like not a lovely laundry. Job description?
Now, back at the ranch now, it's the humdrum of things. It's just not the romantic stuff, is it?
Mm. Yeah.
All right, that's a good question. Go.
Yeah. I think you have to constantly have to make it interesting for yourself. For example, we want, instead of just doing being a glorified delivery of laundry, let's then get into your personal business. You are a DJ.
But I get your point.
You get my point. Apologies. But there's certain things you're sitting here. There's other businesses or other activities that are part of your life that you need convenience to help you, somebody to administer that for you. Yeah. So where we're saying, because we created convenience, let me be your personal concierge. Let me sort out your business, whether it be groceries, whether it be packaging, whether it be picking up your kids from school. So you end up then creating that value add within that specific idea. So that's where we want to expand on creating convenience for our customers.
Okay, I was thinking back to what you were saying about innovating on the value chain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's not then asking about what the job you do is. It's about asking what business you're in.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So in the last few minutes, I could ask you about the publishing business. I mean, how are you innovating there? And we're also kind of in that space a little bit now, you know, doing Alice and myself. But let's not go there. I want you to share lessons. Okay, share a message with SME owners out there that will inspire them. I want you to share lessons you've learned, but let's get there. What are the key lessons you've learned from your little SME that you wish you knew before you started it? Now that you look at it from hindsight, you look back on it, what do you wish you knew now or then that you know now? What do you wish you knew then that you know now? Who wants to start with that one, Tepo?
Okay, I think it almost borrows from the question that Adam asked, right? So what are the sort of things that I've learned once going with the innovation? And it is that it takes real good salespeople sometimes to put new ideas out, things that people have never done before. And that's something that I never foresaw when we actually started the business. And it became quite a realization just how much help we actually need. But I mean, that has been going. And another thing that we actually realized was to keep a very open spectrum. Sometimes the market will respond differently to your product. So maybe the first idea would have been to go to the market and charge people to actually use the charging station. And I think we did try it with one or two events, and it never even worked out. But because we have an open mind, we said, you know what, we can actually turn this around and make it an advertising sort of thing and then generate our revenue that way. And we got a better response that way. Mm. So the one thing is always keeping an open mind, being open to feedback, being open to criticism. Someone might say, you know what, I have a power bank, so why do I need your charging station, right?
Mm.
And it's just the value proposition is totally different once you channel it towards advertising. So, and you would have only seen that if you basically had an open mind to it.
Mm.
And then another thing, yeah. Sorry, just one last one.
No, go for it.
Yeah, we have actually started making our charging stations ourselves locally. And we finished our first prototype. Our current machine we're importing out of France. That's where the global partnership comes in. And it costs us something like 160,000 to 180 to get that machine here.
Sure.
With the first prototype that we have done now, the cost is only up to 60,000 rands, which is much cheaper. And the good thing is we now own the IP and the technology, and it can be applied towards different things such as delivery lockers for online, for e-commerce, for an example, and also delivery lockers for medication for people who don't have access to clinics. Mm. There's a local engineering guy that we're working with who's already pioneering that space, and we're looking at some sort of partnerships that we can get into to use this technology for delivering medication to people that can't get to clinics, or apparently people queue for 2 hours.
I can partner with him.
Medication.
So that's an opportunity.
Yes,
yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, so those are sort of things that we're not aware of from the very beginning.
Okay.
And open mind sort of opened that window.
Fantastic. Solo?
For me, it's a surprise. You need to get your hands dirty. Get in it. Corporate, you've got resources, expensive resources. Yeah, you're dealing with day-to-day. Know your administration. Know how to operate your business. Understand your customers, what they want. So for me, it was really getting into it and getting your hands dirty. I think that was the biggest lesson for me. And also when expansion happens, you need to be ready for it. So when expansion happens, be ready for it so you can actually improve and grow your business.
Now, how do I get the two of you to inspire others, youngsters, to be entrepreneurs when you haven't demonstrated the full faith to take the leap away from corporate into your entrepreneurial space? So you enjoying the best of both worlds, aren't you?
Yes.
The corporate life and your business is running on the side. And I'm saying inspire people to become entrepreneurs, but yet you haven't really taken that step. What is your answer to that?
I think maybe the reason why I haven't necessarily taken the full leap out of corporate is because, one, you need to learn the basics. And I think corporate gave that platform for you to understand how businesses operate, because you really need the education. Yes, it's good to say I'm an entrepreneur, I'm going to start tomorrow. But for me, I needed to understand how really businesses function. So maybe that's, for me, the reason why I haven't taken the leap as yet. But for any entrepreneur out there with a brilliant idea, an innovative idea, go for it. And I think currently our government and are providing a whole lot of resources to support entrepreneurs out there. But you do need to have some formal basics and understanding of how businesses operate.
So Adam, a lot of principles to take away from this, thinking of our first half hour conversation. I think it's fantastic. They are innovating. They are seeing opportunities, and they're not just sticking with their same business. I like your approach earlier of saying, okay, you thought you're going to help people charge their phones, but you're actually selling advertising.
Yeah.
And that's how something happens. And before you know it, you're not enjoying what you're doing anymore.
Yeah, indeed.
So that was very, very good spotting there. But final thoughts on what we take away from these two entrepreneurs?
I think there's a lot of, obviously, a lot of tie-up between what we've seen practically happening and some of the theory that we were speaking about earlier. So marrying up between opportunity identification of where customers' pains are and how you can relieve those in providing a business. Perhaps one of the lessons then to small businesses or potential entrepreneurs out there is that one must think very carefully about the final business model and be open to change and innovate. It may not be the same as the one that you imagined. And then to be really realistic about what operational work is going to be involved in running the business. And before you launch into any small business, ask yourself, if I was to hire somebody to do the job that this business is going to require, would I hire me?
Mm.
Mm. All right. Thank you so much. Thanks for joining us, folks. It was really great having you. And in our next segment, which is our youth leadership platform, we're talking entrepreneurialism for the youth. And we are going to have some Enactus students there, or former students, I guess, and from Samsung. So we're looking forward to the next hour. Thank you for joining us. Next up, youth leadership platform.
Keeping it real on CliffCentral.com.